minute.
This week on the House of Static, we welcome a very special guest, Kilo's grandmother, Jane Harnish.
Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to the House of Static. And as always, I am Bob Smith, the Static Dive. And my my friend and co-host is Mr. Kilo House.
Hello.
You know, and we've got a very special episode here this week.
Yes, very special guest, someone near and dear to my heart.
Right. Then that is Kilo's grandmother, Jane Harnish. So welcome.
Your turn, Mom. Hello.
Oh. Yeah. All right.
I'm in Albuquerque in your apartment. I'm here in Albuquerque apartment at a retirement community. And I don't know. I've heard said that you're having artists. Well, I don't know why you chose me.
Well, here, that's a wonderful segue into us talking about what we're going to talk about today. We have you on here because we want to talk to you. Well, first of all, you're the first musical part of my background because you play piano and you taught my dad and your son to play piano. So you're part of my musical evolution, but also we wanted to talk to someone that was from a different generation back when like art and music and culture was different so that people can hear how things have evolved over the years, whether you like where it went or whether you never expected it to be this way, where you just have it on your phone, just that kind of stuff. It's because it's not just for artists, it's just to kind of expand people's minds, talk about inspiration in life, and what better to do than have someone from a completely different generation than us talk about life and stuff. So, yeah.
Yeah, well, this should be fun.
It will be great.
It will be great indeed. So I'll start with the. I'll do a little bit of interviewing to get it started. How about that? So you said you're in Albuquerque, right, Jane?
Yes.
And where? Yeah. But you're not from Albuquerque originally, right? So where are you originally from?
I grew up in Pennsylvania. I was born in Western Pennsylvania, and when I was 2 years old, my parents and I moved to Northeastern Pennsylvania.
Okay.
On top of a hill mountain with lots of snow in the winter that I loved.
There's a lot of that in Northeastern Pennsylvania. The hills and mountains and snow. I've been there.
Exactly.
So I live in upstate New York, which is very similar. So.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Well, Grandma, I know that you've lived all over the world in your life, but most of our viewers probably do not know that. So why don't you explain some of, like, you know, throughout the years, some of the places you lived, the cultures you lived in, stuff like that.
Well, first we were sent, we were Presbyterian missionaries, and my husband, your dad, granddad, was a businessman, and they were happy to have a business person interested in going overseas to a mission station,
right,
rather than a teacher or a doctor or a nurse. They were happy to have somebody that could sort of run the business,
right,
take care of the business things. And so we first went to Japan, assigned to the Korea mission during the Korean War. So families had to stay in Tokyo. Mm-hmm. And your granddad, my husband, went to Korea along with about five other men. And they took care of refugees from North Korea that came down to South Korea when the North was invaded by Russia. And we were there, I believe it was 17 months. There, I had two little boys to look after, their dad and his brother, Tom. And while we were there, a little girl arrived, your Aunt Janie.
Yeah, the one that's with you right now.
Right. And coming from a farm community such as I lived in at Pennsylvania, being dropped into an entirely different environment in Japan was not easy, to put it mildly. And but we did okay, except it looked like the war was never going to be over, and we were not together as a family. So we went back to New York to the headquarters and asked if we could be assigned someplace else. And the very day that we were there, the doctor from a hospital in Guatemala City was there looking for a business manager or an administrator. And so, to make a long story short, we were assigned to the Guatemala mission. And we were there 5 years, 6 years. And I absolutely loved Guatemala. I loved the people. I loved the country. I loved what we were doing. And my husband was, your granddad, I should say, was finally persuaded to go to Mexico City to pretty much the same thing. No hospital involved. But that only lasted about a year. And we came back to the States.
Very cool.
So what time frame was that? Was this like early 60s? Was that, or late, when was that?
50s. The 50s. We went to Japan in 52. And came home from Guatemala in 1965.
Okay, cool.
1960.
Didn't you live in Costa Rica for a little while, or am I wrong?
We were there for a year in language school.
Oh, right. Okay, that's right. So, okay, now that we've caught everybody up on kind of the places you've lived, let's go back a little ways and talk about the type of music that was popular and you listened to as a kid. Like, when you were very young, what was the most popular record, or, you know, what was music like back then?
I didn't listen to music. We had a radio in the house and no television, of course, when I was a young girl and a teenager. I loved to square dance, and they would square dance in the school gymnasium, or there was a restaurant downtown that had a big open area in the back. And there was music on Nickelodeon that we could play. And
that's
so
awesome.
A bunch of us kids would go there, dance, and listen to the music.
Tell them about, so this is Aunt Janie. Hello. Tell them about your music club, because you did music rather than listening on the radio.
Well, true. There was this small town was had about 1,600 people, so it was quite small. But they had a music club, and I was a member of it, along with my aunt. So music in this family goes quite a long ways back, because my Aunt Marie had a beautiful soprano voice, and she did a lot of solo work.
So what instruments did you play? Sorry, I cut you off.
I played the piano.
Okay.
And cool. I took lessons and from a lady that came from a nearby city. She'd come once a week and I would take lessons with her.
That's so awesome. What kind of music were you playing in the music club? Was this like early jazz stuff or was it like gospel stuff?
It was more classical.
Okay.
Or liturgical.
Right.
And she suggests some of that. Yeah.
That's awesome.
But no jazz.
No.
No jazz. That's great. So now that we've gotten a little bit of that backstory, can I ask you, out of all the kind of popular eras of music, what's your favorite? Because you've lived so many different eras of music, not to say you're super old, but just because you've lived out so many eras from like the 50s music to like the rock and roll era to the hippie era to the disco era. Like what music do you still to this day enjoy?
I would say the big band era. Jimmy Dorsey, Glenn Miller was my favorite. And I went with a boy friend to the city of Binghamton one time to hear Glenn Miller in person. And the place was so crowded, there was no chance to sit down. We stood up for hours listening to him. Oh, and that was a real treat that I still remember.
Wow.
I was, Aunt Jeannie says, was I in high school? Yes, I was.
That's very fantastic. That's awesome. Binghamton. Was this Binghamton, New York, that you went to?
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
That's great. Yeah, not too far from me.
Yeah, it was about 25 miles, maybe.
Right.
So now, having known that you've lived all over the world, how do you think having that broad of a like an overview of different cultures? How do you think that affected like how you view life and you view the experience of the world and stuff, since you don't have like a small, right? So if you only lived in a small town your whole life, you'd only have that one concept of how life is, right? But since you've lived many places and had the chance to see that, how do you think that's affected how you see the world and react with the world?
Well, I think it gave me a broader view and more, what's the word I'm looking for, Jeannie? And more willing to accept people as they are.
Mm-hmm. Open-minded.
Yeah.
I'm really surprised living here with people my age, retired people, and mostly 80 and older, how narrow their view is. I'm not criticizing them. It's just their experience is quite limited, and that's a shame.
Yeah.
I now realize how privileged I was. Thanks to Kilo's granddad that I saw so much of the world.
Right. Yeah, because I would think that's probably the difference between you and them, is that you just have a broader view of people and how people are and how things are, rather than just that narrow one way of thinking. So yeah, that's interesting because, because we're not in that kind of generational world, like we don't get to see how those people act compared to how we act, right? Mm-hmm. Kind of like how, like, you probably couldn't look forward into the future and say music would be played on your phone. When I'm older, you'll be using your phone to listen to music. You'd be like, wait, what? You know? So it's kind of the same way looking back at certain things like that. It's like, we only can see through our limited point of view of like our generation, little limited point of view, and we don't see how things were for people back then, right? So,
So, actually, I have kind of a specific question about some of your travels. You mentioned that you really love the people of Guatemala. Could I would love to hear more about that, the people of Guatemala and what, you know, what about that culture that you like so much?
It was very colorful. There were different villages. There are different villages all over the country. And the women have different patterns for their skirts. I finally was able to say, oh, that lady's from such and such a village, because I recognize her skirt pattern.
Oh, that's cool.
Awesome.
That's wild, yeah.
That's and awesome.
Of course, I love the marimba music. Yeah. When Kilo's granddad and I celebrated our 50th wedding anniversary, we had a party, and we had a marimba band and come play for us.
That's excellent.
Wonderful.
That's awesome.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, I actually have a marimba sitting beside me right now.
Do you?
Yeah, that I've had since I was a kid. I'm not sure where it came from exactly. It's like old and wooden and nice. So yeah, that's pretty cool. So you said that you could tell the specific skirt and tell where that specific person was from by the patterns and the color of the skirts. Is it that they just learned how to make skirts differently in different areas, or did they have kind of their own little like
team colors? Or
like a team. Yeah, I was going to say a gang, but a team is a better thing. Like a team. Was it like team colors, or was it just the way they learned how to make that?
I don't know. I think it just was. The women of that particular village decided that was the color they were predominant color, maybe red or blue or green, and then a different threads on top of that.
That's right.
And they just decided that's how we're going to do it here.
Right.
And the lady, the next village would say, well, we'll do it a little different. And this is what my skirt will look like.
Yeah.
I think the weaving patterns are very similar, but colors and the blouses are called wupils. And, you know, of course, when you put this all together, you could download some stuff from the website.
Yeah, for sure.
But the fabrics are fabulous. Mom always said, too, that the Guatemalan weather was like New Mexico, which is why they like New Mexico so much as well.
I would think Guatemala would be less dry than New Mexico, right? Or no? Was it?
Well, we had a rainy season, and we waited. And on a certain day, we knew it was going to start to rain, and it did.
That's awesome.
Never disappointed us.
That's great. That's awesome. So, okay, let's talk about how you've seen the way of consuming music change throughout the years, right? Because I think back when you first listened to it, it was just radio and, you know, the old record players with the big speaker like tube thing that, you know, like
megaphone
looking thing.
It's
so
like
kind of explain to us at first where music was when you started, if I was wrong, and then kind of how you've seen it evolve into where we are now, and if you ever thought we would get to where we are now, you know, or.
Well, I never really thought about that, about where it was going to go. I have to be truthful. I really don't like some of the present day music.
Sure.
But
sure,
that's my age.
Right. Sure.
I know one of my grandsons, Scott Kilo, loves what you write. Well, I listened to it, and I know my grandson wrote it, but it doesn't appeal to me.
I understand. Don't worry. I understand. It's something called having a specific demographic. So, unfortunately, grandmas are not my demographic that I write
that's for.
You know, kind of like how like food restaurants will have a demographic that they mainly, you know, cater towards, or like clothing brands have a demographic, music has a demographic. So you have to do like a study of who listens to your music. Like, who listened to that? Right, Bob? Am I right?
I think, Kilo, what I think is that you should get a t-shirt that says, grandmas are not my demographic.
Okay. That's a great, I would wear that shirt on our show all the time. That's a great idea. That's hilarious. But, I mean, yes, I totally understand. But I think you might like some of Bob's stuff, actually, that we've been working on, because he's a lot of guitar and piano parts and, like, well-played musical elements rather than kind of scary, weird sounds that
I think you might like Zen Seeds is our new song that we just did.
It's a song very we've been worked on that's coming out. Piano it's mellow and like very, I don't know how to explain it, but you might like that at least. But so, yeah. So now that we've established that grandma does not like my music.
Honey, don't say
I'm joking. It's a joke. It's a joke.
I don't understand.
No, I understand. I understand completely. Don't worry. I am joking. I was just going to say, are there certain aspects of music today that you do still enjoy, or did it just kind of stop at a certain year and you're like, okay, after this year, I don't like anything new?
I like country music. I don't think they call it jazz now, do they, Jane? Mm-hmm. That kind of music, that's sort of the general kind of music you hear.
Well, pop being one of the phrases, but mom will put on the easy listening channel on the music choice on Comcast.
Right.
So she kind of drifts back to the Herb Albert, kind of ballads and so on, I think.
Right.
True.
Which is great music, by the way. Yeah. I love that kind of music.
Yeah. Herb Albert's great stuff. I love that. That sort of pop, 70s pop jazz kind of era, the 60s and 70s. Yeah, that's cool stuff.
Yeah.
I think one cool difference between music back then and music now that I've noticed is nowadays us producers such as myself, especially on Bob's stuff, we'll kind of add that old record sound to the mix of the sound. So we'll add crackles and pops into the background that'll sound like it's an old like 45, you know, and the way it, like if you had a little scratch on it, it would make a popping sound. I'll actually add that into my songs now. Right. Yeah. When back then you didn't want it in on your record and you took perfect care of it and nobody could touch it and everything. And nowadays we're actually re-putting that in because it is such a familiar sound to us now because of resampling old records for hip hop songs and like all that stuff. It's just been ingrained into us as producers that this sounds good when it used to not sound good. That just shows how different things are now.
And it has to do with like the analog audio, which, you know, what a record is, right? It's all analog technology. There's no ones and zeros, no binary information, no digital stuff. That's got a broader dynamic range. Like there's when you break anything down to ones and zeros to digitize something, ultimately there's going to be something in between that you lose, you know what I mean? Even if it's minuscule. And if it's sound, there's a little bit of sound in between the ones and zeros that you lose. So analog doesn't have that problem. It's a smooth, warm sound all the way through, you know, because you're not breaking it up into bits. Mm-hmm. That's the theory anyway. So, and I like it. I got a record player right over here. I listen to records all the time. Usually I like a lot of old jazz stuff, mostly right after the big band era. A lot of what I listen to is like bebop jazz, Miles Davis and stuff like that. You know, when he got the when it was going from the Glenn Millers and Duke Ellingtons more into like a into the smaller like quartets and quintets and things like that. Mm-hmm. But anyway, good stuff.
Mm-hmm. Very nice.
So let's see. Oh, we're off track now.
We sorry, my fault. My fault. Right. I got excited here.
So anyway, so we talked about how technology had changed to some degree how you listened to records. So you were that's where we started with that part of the conversation. Anyway, saying how you know went from radio to all the music on your on the phone.
May I interrupt?
Sure, please.
You spoke about the record player. When we went to Guatemala, we took a record player with us and records and played it all the time.
Oh, that's excellent. Now, when you got there to Guatemala and you were obviously you were missionaries and probably helping people that maybe didn't have a lot of means, right? What were they? Did they have any kind of technology to listen to music, or were they just playing live music? Or was like the record player that you had for? Did was that exotic to them, or did they already have those?
Gosh, I don't remember.
Right.
I don't remember.
Well, that's a hard.
Jane and remember.
I'm trying to remember. Yeah. I was in a few weddings, but I would assume it was live music or an organ or piano in the, I mean, when I was five.
Right on. All right. Well, Kilo, where would you like to go next? We had,
I don't know. What keeps you inspired, Grandma, on a daily basis? Kind of since you're, you know, reaching, you know, the upwards of your lifespan, what keeps you, you know, going through life? Because you tend to, you know, always have a good attitude about life and a get up and go. And I'd just like to know, like, what keeps you going?
My family. I love knowing what they're doing. They're, for the most part, really wonderful about keeping in touch with me, letting me know what they're doing. And I love that. That inspires me, peps me up, makes me happy.
That's awesome. I remember a few years ago, we had a Christmas party, remember? And it was at where you live. And it was so much fun. The whole family was there. And we played this game, everybody. We played this game that was awesome. It was like a mystery game, right, Grandma? And we each had a character that we had to learn who we were. And whether we were the murderer or whatever, right?
Right.
And it was so much fun. It was so much fun. And then Scotty got up on the table and he was like, "You did it!" And it was so funny. Great. Yeah, but I can see how that would keep you going at that age, having a family that is silly enough to do stuff like that and just have a big group of people in the auditorium room where you live and just playing a silly game about, you know, whodunit mystery, you know, that, yeah, I hope I have that at your age. I hope I make it to your age, but you know.
That's nice. That was fun. There were 20 family members here.
26.
And two couldn't make it, unfortunately. Scott's wife and one of his daughters because of
Jim Madison.
Madison.
And Scott is, for everyone listening, Scott is my cousin, and his son Bailey is like a DJ or something. He does music too. So music doesn't stop in my family with me. It continues on in generations below me too. So that's
exactly. Yeah, okay. that pleases me a great deal.
Yeah. I remember there was a piano there too. Remember, we had a piano on the stage, and I think Shannon and Connor were playing the piano or something.
Exactly.
Very cool.
Well, I could say I only know one member of your family really, and that would be Kilo here. But he definitely inspires me. So there you go. So I think.
Bob's like, if I had a family like yours, I would be inspired with my family all the time, too.
This is what I'm saying, exactly. So,
okay, so we have reached the part of the show where we usually go and say, would you like to say anything else? Is there anything else before we do our closure where we ask three random questions and just kind of get to know a random thing about the people we're talking to? Is there anything else you'd like to say? And it can have anything to do with anything. It doesn't have to have anything to do with what we talked about today.
I can remember how Kilo Corey, to me, used to giggle. He and his dad, granddad, loved to make him laugh. And I remember sitting out on the patio. I think it must have been here in Albuquerque, but I'm not sure. And it was at Halloween time. Do you remember carving?
Yes, I have a picture from that.
Granddad.
I have that picture at my house.
Where I had put
the pumpkin seed on my head or whatever. Remember? Yeah. And I was laughing. I have a picture of that.
And you put your hand down in the pumpkin to take out the gooey stuff. And you'd giggle and giggle.
Yeah, I remember that vividly. So I was enjoying life even back then, just having fun laughing about stuff. That's great. That's great. Okay, so now we are to my favorite part of the show where we will go around in a circle and we'll each ask a random question. And we each have to answer our random question. So like I've warned every other guest, don't ask a question you don't want to answer. Because so for instance, I'll ask a question and Grandma will answer it and then Bob will answer it and then I'll have to answer it and then so on and so forth, just so that we have our viewers get to know us as people as well at the end of the show. So, Bob, you go ahead and go first today.
Okay. And, I don't recall if we actually planned ahead on the questions. I don't think we did.
Absolutely not.
All right. Well, I think I have one, though. It's a very, it's pretty generic, but I think it'll be fun. What is any era, anything, what's your favorite movie?
Just like I have no
big silence. Yes. I didn't go to the movies much. Not that I didn't enjoy it. The little town I grew up in had a movie theater that I think had showed pictures on the weekend, but that was all. And I just wasn't interested in going to movies much. So I'm not sure.
So do you like musicals? Do you like drama?
I'm not sure I can come up with a thing.
It's okay. You don't have to pretend to have a favorite. That's a fine answer.
That's a perfectly fine answer. Okay, the question was, what is the favorite movie?
What's your favorite movie, yeah.
Favorite movie. That's a very hard question. Man, why you got to ask such a hard question, bro?
It's an easy question.
Why don't you go first, Bob, and let me think and narrow it down truthfully in my head.
Okay. I would say there are about 10 different movies I could say. Probably my favorite would be It's a Wonderful Life, Jimmy Stewart.
Oh, yes.
There you go.
Very cool. I think we've talked about that on here before.
Yeah, yeah. I love that movie.
I guess I could name like a movie I like a lot. Does that count? There's so many movies, but there's one movie like I always usually use as my generic, I don't want to answer this question, but I'll just say this because I love this movie. But this is going to also be my answer today because I can't think of it. I love the movie The Warriors. Do you remember that movie from the 70s? It's like about this like New York like gang, but it's like all like disco-y looking and it's like retro. Anybody who's listening right now that knows what The Warriors is, they're like, yes, because that's it's awesome. Like a great, I don't know. It's just a fun movie because like there's all this different music every time they run into a different gang. And some of the gangs are like wear baseball uniforms and have painted faces. It's almost like a weird, like, fight along musical, like not a sing along musical, but like a let's get in fights. Well, the cool music plays. So I think that would be.
It sounds familiar. I think they might have spoofed it on Mystery Science Theater 3000.
It's a pretty good movie. It's kind of old, but it is pretty good. Okay, now I got to come up.
There you go. You know,
with the question. Mm-hmm. What is, now this one has not been asked on here. What is your favorite food?
For me, ice cream.
Oh yeah. I remember when the last time I was there when Grandpa was alive and we went to that restaurant, I remember that we had that one piece of ice cream cake and we were passing it around and Grandpa was like trying to just get it all in his mouth and then he spilled it on his lap. But that's just my grandpa, you know, he always did stupid stuff just to, I think he did it on purpose, in my opinion, but just to make people laugh. So yes, ice cream is good. What about you, Bob?
My favorite, probably just chocolate, literally anything chocolate, just as chocolate as you can get, you know, chocolate with chocolate on top.
All of the chocolate.
Exactly.
All of the chocolate. Okay. I think I'd got to say cheeseburgers. I just like a good cheeseburger. I'm a simple man. I'm good with just cheeseburger and fries. Yeah, for sure. Okay, Grandma, now you get to ask a random question. Any random question.
Where do you want to be, or what do you want to be doing 5 years from now?
5 years. Okay, Bob, do you want to go first?
Sure. I think in my case, what I'm doing now, I just started really. Like I just kind of started my own little business and quit my day job and everything and really kind of dove deeper into music over the last year. So 5 years from now, I really want to just basically be doing what I'm doing, but maybe, you know, making more money, I guess, you know, but basically, you know, writing and making music. That's really what I want to do. So.
Yeah. I mean, you've asked two very simple men that question that don't have other things they do other than think about music, dream about music and make music. So I think my answer is exactly the same as Bob. I would like to have still be interviewing people on our like 1 millionth season and, you know, talking to artists and hopefully showing other people new artists that they may never have heard of. And maybe even someday someone will come up to us and say, I listened to your program. It inspired me to become an artist. And that would be like the most triumphant moment. So I just want to make music. I hopefully want to be like working in a big studio, like not just at home and stuff, like a big studio with the boards and stuff that I've been trained to use and just doing my thing with that and making more money. Yeah. Right. And now, last but not least, what about you, Grandma? What do you want to be doing in 5 years?
Well, at 97, 5 years from now, I hope I'm up in heaven with your granddad.
Right. Right. I was assuming that would be the answer. So, well, we really appreciate you being here today. I feel very lucky that you said you would come on the program and let us kind of pick your brain about culture and life and stuff like that. And thank you for giving our viewers and us a good, unique perspective that we don't get to sit down with our grandmas these days in our culture and talk about what life was like, you know, they were our age. So it's really, I think it'll be eye-opening for lots of our viewers from all ages because they probably never have had this experience. I mean, I'm lucky that I've had you in my life, a lot of my life and around, and I know a lot about your life, but then people don't get that. So I think they might get secondhand grandma-ing, but I think it will be a good relief to hear like where life used to be, where it is now. So thank you so much.
Yes, really. It was a pleasure.
I certainly enjoyed it. And I loved seeing you, Kilo.
Yes, I love you, Grandma.
Oh, well, that is awesome. And it was very nice to meet you. Yes. Thank you so much.
Have a wonderful day, Grandma. Okay.
Thank you, dear.
Bye, everybody. Bye.
Bye. Bye-bye.
Hey, let's take a minute.
And just as we were saying our goodbyes, Jane began interviewing us.
Yeah, right.
Oh, no.
No, this is good. I think what you're talking about is because, like, I think for me, at least, and Bob can answer this as well, I do it mechanically. So I do it. I know what I'm going to get one part right, and then I'm going to work on the next part. Like, I do my melodies first. My melodies usually just on the piano or something, and then I put the drums behind that, and then I make the sound. So it's like, at this stage in the game of making music where I'm at now, I just kind of, it's like a robotic thing of one step equals to the next step, to the next step. I think if I tried to take it all on at once, I'd be like, I don't want to do this anymore.
Right.
It's no longer fun. Yeah. What about you, Bob?
Well, I think that a lot of what you described is really the technical process of doing it, right? That's
right.
The making of the music. And I think that's like half of the answer. And I think the other half is the unknown, like what, how does that music come out of somebody's brain? Right. We could explain how it comes out of our hands and out of the piano and then into, you
right.
know,
that's but, true.
Right. Like, I was thinking about this today because earlier today, before we did the show here, Kilo had texted me, and you know, he and I work on music together, and we were talking about doing cover songs. We're both John Lennon fans. So anyway, he said, let's do a cover of Imagine by John Lennon. And so how we would do this, I play it, I record it, and then Kilo would mix it and do his producing on it. So anyway, I recorded my part. I recorded the piano and did the vocal on it. And my point of bringing it up is that I was thinking about exactly that, because technically the piano, that song is really easy. It's a very easy song to play. It's like four chords, really.
Right.
A couple of little transitions, but it's really a very simple song. But how did that come out of that gorgeous, simple song come out of that one crazy Englishman's brain? You know, I don't know. That's the thing.
Yeah,
who
that
knows?
Is a good question, Grandma, though. I think it does. I think it goes back to something we've talked about on our show about, like, where you reach this state of mind that a lot of people call the flow state, like football players get in the flow state when they're doing really good, or like, you know, musicians usually do when they're doing a show. And I think that for me, my creativeness comes from that state of mind where your brain turns off and you're just kind of doing it. And then you look back at it and you're like, oh crap, I did that. Like, it's weird when you have to sit here and answer that and think, how do I come up with those ideas? And I think for every artist, every single artist, it's a very different process. It's a very different thing. So, for instance, my mind first thought it was just a technical thing. Like, I know how to process and do everything, but how did I come up with that idea, right? The idea didn't come from me going from A to B to C. So I really don't know. I mean, for me, at least, I get a lot of my inspiration from movies. And so I'll be watching a movie and see a scene that makes me feel a certain way. Or like, I hear a sound of, like, you know, a monster in the background. I'm like, oh, that makes me feel a certain way. So then I feel like, oh, I want to make a song to make someone feel that same feeling. And it doesn't have to have anything to do with the movie. It could be completely something different, but it's like that drew an emotion out of me. So I want to see if I can kind of emulate that emotion into other people.
Interesting.
You know what's cool though, there really though, Kilo, is that there's still that unknown in the middle, right? So you've got talk about the inspiration. You watch a movie that makes you feel something and you want to turn that feeling into music, and then, and at the end process, this is the technical process I go through to make that music.
Right,
but there's still the unknown in the middle there, where you,
well, I think
how do you turn that emotion into sound?
I think we know what the answer is, though. It's because I had something called synesthesia, where like your brain kind of mistranslates sound into imagery in your mind, kind of like you're daydreaming. So when I hear sound of any kind, musically especially, it paints this weird vivid picture in my brain. And I always thought as a kid, Grandma, that's how everybody experienced life. That's just normal. And then when I went to ICON, I learned that's a condition with your brain. Like, I don't know if it's from whatever happened when I was born or whatever. You know, maybe that's a thing. But, I mean, it happens to people. And so, Bob, I think that's the middle part. It's like, I then know, well, I want it to look like this, and this sound sounds like this and looks like this and this and this and this. You know what I mean?
Right. So yeah, right on.
That's, and I may never create that emotion that I'm trying to in other people, just like we talked about on our show. It's like, you know, you might not be giving people what you think, what your version of the song is to you and what it is to someone listening to it is not the same. So, I mean, I may never create that same imagery in someone's mind or their feelings, but it's still the way I do it, I think.
Right. But like we were talking to Lisa the other day, it doesn't matter because once you're done with it, it's not yours anymore. You know, once you're finished a song, you give it to some, you have to, here, listen to this. And then it becomes, you know, if you're lucky. Yeah. If you're lucky, then people have a personal relationship with themselves and you're kind of out of the picture at that point. Mm-hmm.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that and enjoy it.
Sure.
Okay.
All right.
Love you, grandson.
Love you too. Bye.
Nice to meet you.
Thank you. Nice to meet you.
Very nice to meet you.
Hey, let's take a minute.